What better today, friend? Welcome to the Advantage Joy at Work podcast. I'm thrilled that you've joined me here as I help marketplace leaders unstuck their true potential to thrive in life and leadership, to build successful, sustainable business with collaborative, high-performance teams and joy at work with practical, neuroscience-based advantage guides and coaching. If you need an outside voice with a fresh perspective to challenge and empower you, your team, or business to a new level of performance and engagement, then let's talk now. Pride and prejudice. You're biased. Now, before you go off in a huff and rant against my assertion, do please let me explain. Everyone is biased. Everyone has biases. Actually, you have to, or else your brain would drain all of your energy. What's the power and purpose of this advantage guide? The purpose of this advantage guide is to allow you to be aware of your own biases and those of others, not to fix them. I have to stress this. Your job is not to fix these biases. Your awareness will enable you to reframe your communications and be prepared to challenge unwarranted assumptions or faulty thinking with love and kindness. The power of your payoff when you put this into action will be to listen much more deeply and effectively and communicate with empathy and clarity for mutual understanding. So I got some key questions for you to be considering as you read, watch, or listen to this particular Advantage Coaching Guide. Number one, what is the one thing you will stop doing, start doing, or change how you behave or act that will have the greatest impact on your leadership performance from your learning here? And two, what is the single tiniest step you can take immediately that will begin that improvement, and by when? Let's begin with, what is prejudice? Prejudice is just one example of cognitive biases that is most often a preconceived, unfavourable opinion about another person or group. Indeed, this is known as the in-group or out-group bias. It enables you to judge another person almost instantly based on very limited data, which is very efficient but often seriously flawed. Yet, we all have them. Blame your parents, upbringing, society, politicians, culture, race, language, TV, Hollywood, the interweb, Facebook, whatever you like. You still have biases. Some biases are potentially helping you make better, quicker decisions. Others could be, and almost certainly are, undermining your true power and potential. But I'm not biased. You already know that everyone else you meet is biased, right? That's your confirmation bias kicking in, by the way. Especially those people who disagree with you, or have a different political or religious viewpoint. So are you, and everyone else is too, because your brain has to be biased. Your brain hates ambiguity and uncertainty, and it's willing to take shortcuts to remove it from the situation. If there's insufficient information to go on, you will use whatever is available. And unconsciously, you'll fill in the blanks from your memories and beliefs until you recognize a pattern and come, or jump, to an internal representation of what that means. It's one way that your brain saves you precious energy and stress and saves time making decisions. If we were to allow our brains to take in all the available information, process it, evaluate it objectively, and make a decision, well, that speeding vehicle would have wiped out your life already Okay, maybe it's not so drastic, but your brain sees uncertainty as a threat and triggers your threat response, biasing decisions toward habit and modulating your propensity to take risks or do something new and untested. Let me give you a quick brain primer so that you don't use your biases and fill in your own wrong answers. Your brain is programmed to minimize effort and save energy. In his fabulous book, Thinking Fast and Slow, Daniel Kahneman shows that your brain works using two different systems, one and two. Yeah, terrific names. Yeah. System one is fast thinking, mostly unconscious, prone to biases and errors, and can be exploited by others to influence your responses and choices. System two is slower thinking, but it's much more reliable and it's supposed to monitor system one. But very often it doesn't even bother because it's feeling a bit lazy or it's overloaded. Your brain is programmed to minimize effort, and system two requires more effort and energy. Hence, system one runs the show by default. And therein lies the problem. The top 10 cognitive biases. Now, there's a list of cognitive biases that have been identified, and it's incredibly long, and it grows monthly. You can find it on Wikipedia. Just search for a list of cognitive biases, and you'll find it there. But I've come across 10 repeatedly in my coaching of leaders that could really use your conscious attention now. The first two fall into the similarity category of biases. There's the in-group bias and something called functional fixedness. Let me just briefly go through in-group biases. In-group bias is favoring those who belong to your group, whatever that group may be, your race, your tribe, your countrymen, your company, your friend. You unfairly favor those who belong to your group. Nepotism, for example, favouring your family over meritocracy, people who have shown that they have the ability, is an in-group bias. We presume that we are being fair and impartial, but the truth is that we automatically favour those who are most like us or belong to our groups. This blind tribalism has evolved to strengthen social cohesion. However, in a modern and multicultural world, it can have the opposite effect. Try to imagine yourself in the position of those in out-groups, whilst also attempting to be dispassionate when judging those who belong to your in-groups. Most people prefer to pretend that this doesn't apply to them. I'm not racist. It is a very common phrase people use. I'm sorry, you are. Everybody is. In particular, when it's along discriminatory lines. It does exist, and the sooner everybody and we all recognise this, the sooner we can actually do something about it. Functional fixedness is seeing objects as working in only one way. If a conclusion supports your existing beliefs, you'll rationalise absolutely anything that supports it. So it's very difficult for us to set aside our existing beliefs to consider the true merits of an argument. In practice, this means that our ideas become impervious to criticism, and they're perpetually reinforced. Instead of thinking about our beliefs in terms of true or false, it's probably better to think of them in terms of probability. For example, we might assign a 95% plus chance that thinking in terms of probability will help us think better. and a less than 1% chance that our existing beliefs have no room for any doubt. Thinking probabilistically forces us to evaluate more rationally. So here's a tip. A useful thing to ask is, when and how did I get this belief? We tend to automatically defend our ideas without ever really questioning them. Now, these biases aren't in any order by how often they are seen. So it's not that in-group is more prevalent than ventricle fixedness. The third one we're going to look at is in the experience group. This is called the availability heuristic. This is where we place more value on information that is quick to your mind, because your judgments are influenced by what springs most easily to your mind. Recent, emotionally powerful or unusual memories can make them seem more relevant. This in turn can cause you to apply them too readily. For instance, when we see news reports about homicides, mass shootings, child abductions and other terrible crimes, it can make us believe that these events are much more common and threatening to us than is actually the case. So the tip is try to gain different perspectives. Look at the other viewpoints, particularly when you have quite biased media representations and the relevant statistical information rather than the headlines. Another expedient type of bias is an anchoring bias. This is where we are relying on the first piece of information that we learn. You see, the first thing you judge influences your judgment of everything else that follows. Other people can call this priming. Human minds are associative in nature. So the order in which we receive information helps determine the course of our judgments and perceptions. For instance, the first price offered for a used car sets an anchor price, which will influence how reasonable or unreasonable a counteroffer might seem. Even if we feel like an initial price is far too high, it can make a slightly less than reasonable offer seem entirely reasonable in contrast to the anchor price. So here's a tip. Be especially mindful of this bias during financial negotiations, such as houses, cars, and salaries. The initial price offered has proven to have a significant effect. A third expedience bias is something we call the Dunning-Kruger effect. This is when someone believes they are much smarter and more capable than they are. The more you know, the less confident you are likely to be. Because experts know just how much they don't know. They tend to underestimate their ability. But it's very easy to be overconfident when you have only a very simple idea of how things are. Try not to mistake the cautiousness of experts as a lack of understanding, nor to give much credence to laypeople who appear overconfident but have only superficial knowledge. Remind yourself of all those experts at the beginning of the COVID pandemic who ended up getting it so very, very, very wrong. And a tip for you. The whole problem with the world is that fools and fanatics are so certain of themselves, yet wiser people so full of doubts. That was Bertrand Russell. Almost no one who suffers this effect is cognizant of it. Everyone else is, though. Dare to ask your colleagues? The next bias we're looking at is a distance-related bias. It's the actor-observer bias. This is where attributing your own actions to external causes whilst others act on internal causes. You judge other people based on their actions, but you judge yourself on the situation and your ever so good intentions. If you haven't had a good night's sleep, you know why you're being a bit slow. But if you observe someone else being slow, you don't have such knowledge, and so you might presume them to be just a slow person. Because of this disparity in knowledge, we often overemphasize the influence of circumstance for our own failings, as well as underestimating circumstantial factors to explain other people's problems. So here's a tip. It's not only kind to view other situations with charity, it's more objective as well. Be mindful to also err on the side of taking personal responsibility rather than justifying and blaming. Now we have a group of three experience type biases, and the first one is confirmation bias. This is favouring information that conforms to my existing beliefs. You favour things that conform to your existing beliefs. We are primed to see and agree with ideas that fit our preconceptions and to ignore and dismiss information that conflicts with them. You could say that this is the mother of all biases, as it affects so much of our thinking through motivated reasoning. To help counteract its influence, we ought to presume ourselves wrong until proven right. So here's a tip. Think of your ideas and beliefs as software you're actively trying to find problems with rather than things to be defended. The first principle is that you must not fool yourself. And you are the easiest person to fool. It wasn't me, that was Richard Feynman who said that. The next experience bias we're looking at is the curse of knowledge. This is when we are assuming the other person should already know this. But you knew that already, didn't you? Once you understand something, you presume it to be obvious to everyone. Things make sense once they make sense. So it can be hard to remember why they didn't or what it felt like when they didn't. We build complex networks of understanding, and we just forget how intricate the path to our available knowledge really is. This bias is closely related to the hindsight bias, wherein you will tend to believe that an event was predictable all along once it's occurred. We have difficulty reconstructing our own prior mental states of confusion and ignorance once we have clear knowledge. So here's a tip. When teaching someone something new, go slow and explain like they're 10 years old without being patronizing. Repeat key points and facilitate active practice to help embed knowledge. And we have the optimism bias. This leads you to believe that you are less likely to suffer misfortune than others. You actually overestimate the likelihood of positive outcomes. Now, there can be benefits to a positive attitude, but it's unwise to allow such an attitude to adversely affect our ability to make rational judgments. They're not mutually exclusive. Wishful thinking can be a tragic irony insofar as it can create more negative outcomes, such as in the case of problem gambling. So the tip is, if you make rational, realistic judgments, you'll have a lot more to feel positive about. And the last bias that we're going to be talking about is the self-serving bias. This is where we are blaming external forces for bad things and we take credit for good happenings. Why? Because you believe your failures are due to external factors, yet you are personally responsible for your successes. See, many of us enjoy unearned privileges, luck and advantages that others do not. And it's easy to tell ourselves that we deserve these things whilst blaming circumstance when things don't go our way. Our desire to protect and exalt our own egos is a powerful force in our psychology. Fostering humility can help countermand this tendency, whilst also making us much nicer human beings. So here's a tip. when judging others, be mindful of how this bias interacts with the just world. Very few people like to admit to this, as most of us are simply too proud of ourselves to find this a little too much humility and honesty. So our 10 most common biases that I've come across, maybe you've come across many others, but in-group bias, functional fixedness, seeing objects as only working one way, availability heuristic, the availability of information, anchoring bias, where the first piece of information primes our brain to be thinking like that, optimism bias, where you're going to be okay, but it doesn't work for other people. Confirmation bias, where everything confirms your existing beliefs. The curse of knowledge, where we assume that others should already know how this works. The Dunning-Kruger effect, when people believe they are actually smarter or more capable than they really are. The actor-observer bias, where we attribute our own actions to external causes and others to internal causes. And the self-serving bias, where we blame external forces for bad things, but we take all the credit for good things happening to us. What are your top biases? What biases, shortcuts, and heuristics have you grown and developed over your years of life and experience that aren't being monitored by you? You just carry on with your day, allowing your faster, unconscious system one to get you through today, and might not even see the trail of destruction left in your wake. Now, over the past 30 plus years, I've worked with a lot of business leaders, geeks and nerds, and the biases I've seen most in action can undermine your potential career as a leader and sabotage your success. They were all useful for you at some point along the way, but many have outlived that usefulness. And they really could do with an overhaul and a serious upgrade. For this group of top 10 biases, which do you immediately realise that you have operating in some way? And ask someone who knows you well, that you trust and love, regardless, to go through this list with you. What next? Well, now become consciously aware that you may be prone to making decisions using these biases and several others. And using the secret power of the pause, you can now hold onto your tongue just an extra moment or three. Is there something that you might be missing here? Is there a possible alternative viewpoint? Have I considered all the angles? And test your new decision in a different frame. How does it feel now? Oh, and please do not concern yourself that you are taking time to think and be silent. Your audience is already beginning to think that you could just be the wisest person they know, and they are about ready to listen. Consider the biases I've mentioned here, and note those that you now notice that you hold, and check your own thinking each time that you come across situations that may involve the use of this bias. And use the secret power of the pause to interrupt your unconscious thought patterns and deliberately assess your thinking. Adjust your response and behaviours as needed. At the beginning, don't fret too much about your physiology. That will have already happened. But eventually, you will overcome your bias and perhaps create new ones that serve you better. So remember those key questions I asked at the beginning? What's the one thing you will stop doing, start doing, or change how you behave or act that will have the greatest impact on your leadership performance from your learning here? And secondly, what is the single tiniest step you can take immediately that will begin that improvement, and by when? I'm Dr. John Kenworthy, and it's been my pleasure to share this Joy at Work Advantage Guide with you today. Thank you for joining me and supporting my work. Remember, if you ever think that you might benefit from an outside voice with a fresh perspective to challenge and empower you, your team or your organization to a new level of performance and engagement, then let's talk now. You can follow the link at my website, joyatwork.coach. And if you know someone you know would benefit from this Joy at Work guide, please share this with them either by sharing the podcast link, or if you're listening on the Joy at Work website, it's even easier to just click the share button.